Okay, I want to pause the record.
Good morning, church. Thank you for being here. If you all could stand and join me for worship, we're going to do a call to worship together. Cool. Jesus said, "Follow me." Jesus said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus said, "Forgive 70 times 7. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And in response, we say, "Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Let us worship God with all our hearts. To close out our series, we're going to sing Come Thou Fount one more time. But I'm going to put a disclaimer, so it's a little bit of a different version. So it's a little bit slower, the words are all the same, but just listen if it feels unfamiliar. And then, yeah, join in whenever you're ready. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song. I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath,
Reckless love.
God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for who you are, God, that we don't have to do anything to earn your love, God, that we are just loved. God, that there's nothing that we could do or say or not do or say, God, that would separate us from you. And so, God, I pray that we just lean into that and just remember that your love is greater than anything that we could ever do, that we're not that powerful, God, that we can't ruin the plans that you have for us. And so, God, we love you, we trust you, we know that you are good in all things, even when it doesn't feel like it. We'll press on, go, Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can have a seat.
Thank you, Sam. Good morning. What a delight to be in church this morning, isn't it? I mean, what could you be doing that would be better than this? Ball game doesn't start for a couple, 3 hours, so but you can still go to that. What a great celebration we're having right now. As you all know, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he stuck around, what, 40 days? Is that correct? Yes? 40 days? Yes. He stuck around for 40 days teaching and talking, and particularly talking to the disciples. And on the day of the ascension to heaven, he said, in our own vernacular of 2000, he said, guys, go out and tell what you've experienced. Tell the people about me. And tell them that I died for them. And they were excited, so they went out and taught the people about Jesus. So we're here this morning, and we all came, at least I think we did, we all came with a story in our hearts. Now that story could be a sad one that you're going through right now, or it could be a joyous one, whatever that might be. But as I had a conversation this morning, I won't tell you who I talked to, I said, how you doing? He said, okay. And I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, look, unless you tell me what's really going on, I can't pray for you. So we talked for about 10 minutes about what is really, really going on in his heart. So that's what we want to do. Sam's going to go around with the microphone because they say I'm not exactly ready to go down the aisle while falling down. So I'll try not to do that. But please share what is in your heart this morning. Nate can reduce his prayer, his sermon if he has to. So we got all morning. There's no hurry, so don't worry about it. So raise your hand. Sam will come around, and let's celebrate whatever's in your heart this morning.
And just real quick, this wasn't coached at all, but Harvey is amazing. He's good looking. And we're so glad to have him here. All right, who's going to share?
Last week, my stepdaughter, she had testing done on some masses, and they were declared cancer-free.
Good morning, church. Story or my testimony happened yesterday. As a mother who has a daughter who's getting ready to graduate and start college. I know, right? There's a lot of things that we need to navigate, a lot of new things. And my adoptive daughters, Taylor and Hannah, sat with us on Zoom because Taylor is sick, but they answered all the questions. And I left because mama can ask all the questions and, you know, leave Mia out, my daughter. So I left so she could ask the questions, and I was just amazed at how good God is and how he places people of peace around us to help us navigate hard times and difficult times. And that sometimes we tend to look for blessings and miracles as a burning bush, but most of the time it's in people. He's working through people to love us, to care for us. So I'm just grateful for the people of peace in my lives.
Good morning. My husband, Doug, is going to have another pacemaker replacement. I think this is his third one. And so I ask for prayer from church and from all of you that everything goes successfully. The last replacement was like 10 years ago, and he sailed through it. It was really just fine. But he's 10 years older, so I'm hoping that everything goes well. And appreciate all of your prayers and thoughts for us during this time. It's scheduled for the 17th, so that's like 2 weeks. And I'm getting kind of anxious about it, but I think everything will be okay, especially with your prayer. Thank you.
Slight correction, it'll be my fourth.
He's had so many. Our prayers are definitely with you. Anybody else?
We have a grandnephew out in Muskegon, and he's about a month old, a year old, and he got RSV. And every time we heard a report about how he was doing, it just got worse and worse. And at one point, he was unresponsive, that's what they said. And then the next thing you know, he's fine and he's going home. So it was great.
That's wonderful to hear. Any others?
Oh, yeah. Hi, I'm Betsy. We lost our dad about 16 years ago, and our growing up house became his wife's, our stepmother. We lost Judy in the fall, and so we are four kids, me and three siblings. What's going to happen with all that stuff? And we started ramping up and getting pretty emotional about it. Thankfully, her brothers were very gracious to us and said, "We know there's a lot of family stuff here. Come on, come and get it." Well, it's kind of never ending, so we are there a lot, and all of our partners. But this has allowed us four kids to spend a lot of time together, which we haven't done in a long time. My brother lives in Wisconsin, so we don't see him very often, but he's come here. He even rented a car and filled it, took stuff back. But we're getting near the end of this, and we're sharing pictures of the rooms that are empty, and man, it is so much harder than I thought it was going to be. Because not only are we saying goodbye to that house, we're once and for all saying goodbye to the neighborhood, and we, our Catholic church a block away, our schools, which by the way were recently torn down, that adds to the sadness of it all. But it's like turning around and we're never gonna go back there, and it's getting sadder and sadder. But we text all day long and we're sharing all of our thoughts about this, and they're all different. It's really kind of fun to, some are happy about this, or I'm sad about that specific thing. And so we're sharing all of our thoughts together, and that's kind of enriching this whole experience. There was one other thing what I was gonna say. Anyway, we've been close, us four kids have been close forever, but we actively articulated how great it's been to spend so much time together. And the blessing of that is beyond anything I can imagine, because I didn't expect it to come along with the sadness of losing the house. But again, we're grateful to her brothers. Rest in peace, Judy, and thanks for preserving all our mom's stuff.
Hey, folks. Most of you know I'm Dan Buttry, and I've been dealing with prostate cancer since 2009, and it's been a pretty easy time in many, many ways. No major symptoms, and everything's gone great. It kind of came back in my bones in 2018, but again, the treatments, everything went great. But over the last few weeks, I've developed some new pain that has been pretty severe pain, different from some of the other aches and creaks and pains that I've got. So last Friday, a week ago Friday, I got some tests started and then more tests this week. And we're pretty sure that, prostate cancer is back, and it's causing a lot of pain in my bones. So I'm going to start chemotherapy next Thursday. So appreciate prayer. That's not the testimony. That's the background for the testimony. The testimony is just how God's people have shown up and been so special during a time like this. I'm in two small groups, our men's group, you know, guys, we're together on Wednesday night, and they all just came over around me and prayed, laid hands on me, just a powerful time of prayer. And then on Friday night, we hosted a small group that we meet every other Friday, and it was at our home. And again, everybody gathered over me and prayed, and many, you know, friends and prayers, and even just coming in here, you know, having just wonderful times of conversation and prayer. So it's like God shows up. By the way, you'll get texts during the week if there's anything you want to pray for. Our sister Amanda, she staffs that prayer line, and it's not a staff, it's a ministry position. I put that in there, and Amanda prayed, and it was just like this connection and fellowship going back and forth. It was really, really special. And so, you know, that's part of what God has for us in times of crisis. And I just want to say thank you to all of you who've been a part of making that a special time for me.
Well, let's all stand, and I'm going to cry, but we're going to pray for Dan. You put your hands up. You don't have to come over here, but Dan, I'm going to try to get up over to you, but Dan may have to take over the prayer for me. So, Heavenly Father, we stand in your awe, and we hold up Dan Buttrey, Lord. You know the circumstances, and you know that he loves you probably as much, if not more, than anybody else. For all these years, he has done things for you, gone across the world, for peace is in mind. So, Lord, we ask that you would take your hands and come down and put your hands inside his body, Lord, and do away with that cancer, Lord. We ask all of these things in your son's holy name, Jesus the living Christ. Amen. And now it's my great honor to pass the microphone over to a young lady, very young lady compared to you, Mr. Jerry.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Genesis. So glad you're here. I got to set this down because there's a lot of announcements this morning. We're so glad you're here with us this morning. I forgot a green card, but there should be a green card in the front of you in your pew. That is our connection card. You can fill that out to let us know you're here this morning. It's our way to connect with you. You can also fill it out online. If you brought your physical green card, you can place it in the wooden box at the back of the sanctuary. And this is also where you can place any offerings that you brought with you. Genesis is fully funded by your faithful and generous giving and cannot function without your financial support. When you give to Genesis, you're funding a multitude of causes. You're funding the warming center that keeps our friends experiencing homelessness safe. You're funding Community Cafe to provide food to those in need. And your giving makes sure our staff gets paid and makes sure that the heating bills for this building get paid. If you call Genesis your church home or even just a safe space to be on Sunday morning, we ask you to consider giving toward our vision to change the world by creating spaces of belonging, helping individuals identify and develop their calling, and taking action for the good of others. We have elder nominations happening now. Genesis has a group of volunteers to help give wisdom and oversee the life of this community. The elders work with the pastors, staff, and community as we pursue the life of Jesus together. We're looking for some new elders, and we need your help for nominations. Who do you see that lives and loves like Jesus? Who seems to live out the values of this community? Just write their names on a physical or digital nomination form. If you have any further questions about elders and nominations, you can ask Nate. We have a couple groups that will be starting up and a workshop coming up. The first group is Context Matters. If you've been struggling with the Bible, this is for you. Join us for a short but meaningful study on why it's important to use historical context, genre, and culture to understand the Bible. All meetings will take place in the Summit Middle School room, which is across from the elevator upstairs. And they'll be on Wednesdays from 6:30 to 8, starting April 24th. You can contact Jenny Regal or Amanda Hines for more information. We will be having a financial wellness workshop. Too many of us are stuck with the idea that money is something that happens around us or is a chore we need to manage. Jackie McLaughlin will be teaching a set of four simple habits that will help you gain total control of your money. This will be on Saturday, May 11th from 10 to 11:30 here at Genesis. We will have Pillars groups starting up. We're starting a couple of groups at the end of April that will focus on our pillars, creating spaces of belonging, helping individuals identify and develop their calling, and taking action for the good of others. These groups will be weekly for 8 to 10 weeks, and you can indicate on your connection card if you're interested, and Bo will follow up with you. All right, new to Genesis, meet and greet. If you're new to Genesis and want to learn more about our community, join us on Sunday night, April 14th from 6 to 8 for desserts and coffee. You can indicate on your connection card if you'd like to join us for that, and we'll send you all of the details. And my last announcement, we will be eating together after service today. If it's a traditional potluck, if you didn't bring anything, that's okay. Please plan to join us still. There will be plenty of food. We look forward to eating together with you. And now it's connection time. You can take a moment, say hello to those around you.
That's good. For our call to confession. Thank you. So I think there'll be some text up on the screen. I'm going to read the text that's in the normal font, and we'll read together the bolded font. For the past 7 weeks, we've been following the life and faith of Peter. Despite being one of Jesus' most loyal disciples, Peter, like us, still made mistakes. He was faithful and messy, humble and afraid, loyal and cautious. I don't need to tell you this, friends. We're a lot like Peter. Despite our faith, we make mistakes. Despite our belief, we carry unbelief. Despite our love, we can cause hurt. So, like Peter, let us return to God in prayer, confessing the truth of our lives. God's grace doesn't stop with Peter, that humble yet fearful disciple. God's grace reaches all the way to us. Let us pray. Gracious God, like Peter, we crawl out of the boat only to sink. You tell us your truth, and we push it away. We ask about forgiveness and are surprised by abundance. We profess our faith and deny it 3 times. We run to the empty tomb and leave in silence. Over and over again, we find ourselves wandering along the journey of faith. Tether us to your heart, God. Forgive our surprise, our denial, and our limited imagination. Call us out of the boat once more. We are eager to return to you. With humble hearts, we pray. Amen.
I'm reading John 21, 1 through 17. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he had raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep."
Thank you, Deacon Hines. We don't have that official title yet at Genesis, but you fulfill the role. Let me pray. Lord, we invite you to continue to be in this space, to meet with us, to commune with us, to teach us. And we ask for willing spirits, willing hearts to participate. And so we say, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come, come, come. More of you. Let us experience more of your enoughness, more of your abundance. And teach us." We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Before they start the teaching, I always like to give an opportunity for you to set your intention. And so your intention in this time, you came here for a reason. And maybe that reason has already been fulfilled. I would be cool going to potluck. I'm not shortening my sermon, even though Harvey was advocating for that. But what is your intention this morning? And if you can't name one, then let me offer this. To be able to receive love. To be able to receive love. My encouragement as we step into this teaching time is that you would have a way to be able to take notes. So, that could be on your phone, or that could be a pen on your hand, or it could be a piece of paper. If you need paper, in the back there's a list of qualifications for elder. Go ahead and grab that and take notes on the back of it. I wanted to share with you my high point. Oh, I'm having chronic back pain, and I'm about 12 weeks into that. And so I'm sitting today. And if it starts to hurt, I'll stand and we'll just kind of adapt. But I wanted to share with you my high point of Easter week. So after all of the responsibilities of the week, after all of the services, which I found extremely powerful and extremely inspiring, after the family gatherings were done and Easter egg hunting had been finished, I walked into my home to the evocative smell of pot roast in the air. And I was immediately transported to my childhood, where on Sundays we religiously ate pot roast after Sunday service. I think it was easy for my mom to start it in the morning before we left for church, and then it would be ready when we got home. But crossing that threshold, I was enveloped by familiarity and the feeling of being home and of being safe and of absolute belonging, all from a smell. I find it fascinating how powerful and transcendent olfactory memory is. Great chefs create out of their olfactory memory. They tell their stories on a plate over and over and over and over through their craft. The great chefs do. We're shaped by our memory. Growing up, I was enamored with my grandpa. He was gregarious and joy-filled and aggressively abundant with his love. We said that he loved hard. Often, he would accidentally break things as he would wrestle with us kids with his huge heart of love for us. My grandma would regularly say, "Bert, Bert, you're going too far. Bert, stop. Bert, Bert." You heard that in the house resounding. Sometimes he'd accidentally take out a lamp or knock over some home decor in his playful tussle. His love for us regularly made him get down on our level. He passed away when I was a teen. And his death was the first great loss that I experienced in my life. And I wanted to be just like him, because I knew how I felt when I was in his presence. And I wanted others to be able to experience that same feeling. His presence caused me to feel special and cherished and chosen. And I felt celebrated and beloved under his gaze. This was my experience as a grandson of Bert Sjogren. And he was my first picture of God, stooping to my level, playful in the tussle of life, and abundant with his love. I frequently still have encounters where I smell my grandpa. In unexpected scenarios, in unexpected settings, my attention will be jarred, and my emotions will be stirred by the waft of him near me. In those moments, it's as though I could turn and he'd be standing right there. And I'd be able to embrace him again. In those times, it feels like there's a very thin space between the spiritual world and the physical world. Anyone know what I'm talking about? All right, you're the right audience. I believe that God inhabits those times to remind me that I am under God's gaze and that God is near to me. I relish those moments, and I'll deeply breathe in the aroma, savoring it and letting it fill my lungs. And in those moments, I'm unmovable because I don't want the moment to pass. But inevitably, it does. And despite my attempts, I can't control it. I can't make it happen. And I can't conjure it up. All I can do is remain open to the possibility of it happening again. And when it does, to have a willingness of heart to play along. I restlessly await the next invitation. And I offer you this story because I believe it's actually the context for this scripture. In John 21, 1 through 17, we see and experience something extraordinary and also something very ordinary. What I want to do this morning is to just talk through the text verse by verse. And I'll pause along the way, and I will help us to create a moment of reflection. Such is the reason why I'm encouraging you to take notes. Because God may spark something in that that you want to capture and that you want to come back to later. So John 21, 1 through 17 says, after these things, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, who was called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we are also coming with you. They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. After what things? After what things? John starts this by saying, after these things, this happened. John's trying to set us in a place in time that is very specific. So we should be asking, what are the things this is after? Well, it's after these things. After the trial and execution of their leader, Jesus. After the finding of an empty tomb. After the fear and anxiety had set in on the disciples, wondering who will have that outcome next. After Jesus had appeared to them post-death, that's weird, it should be noted, and the first thing he says is, peace. He speaks peace into their grieving and into their anxiety. And then he makes them familiar with his hands and with his side. After these things, after Jesus had said, just as I was sent, I'm sending you to continue God's mission in this world. After these things, after Jesus had breathed a new breath upon them and filled them with a new wind and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. It was after that that this happened. After Jesus had appeared in a kind way in order for Thomas to see him, because he was missing from the last one, with the intent to bolster the belief of all of the disciples. After these things, Jesus revealed himself again. How gracious is this? After these things, Jesus reveals himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. We're three verses in. Verse 4. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, friends, my brothers, you do not have any fish to eat, do you? I love that. It's like, how's it going for you out there? And he said to them, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll find the fish. So they cast it. And then they were not able to haul it in because of the great quantity of fish. Note takers, get ready. This is a direct callback to Luke 5. Someone hit rewind. When Jesus had told Peter, let down the nets. This is so important because this is the honeymoon phase of Jesus and Peter's relationship. If this was a short film, we would have a 1980s montage of their years together. Throw the fish, you know, like, you get behind me, Satan, you know. And it would have the, you're the best, music playing. But Jesus is recalling to Peter a foundational moment in their relationship. He's causing Peter to be reminded of their early encounters when their relationship was being formed and he was learning to trust Jesus. And Peter's response to Jesus on that formative day was amazement and awe and worship. In that moment, he experienced Jesus' full presence and he had become fully aware of his own sinfulness and of Jesus's absolute divine otherness. Do you remember those days for yourself? Can you remember a time when you were just completely washed over in the presence of love? Perhaps it was from a family member, perhaps from a friend, perhaps a lover. Let it come to mind. Who was it? What about in the presence of God? Have you experienced the feeling of utter undoing under the loving gaze of the divine other? Can you recall those moments of significance that formed the footing that you needed in order to trust, in order to receive love? Take notes. You may want to come back to it later. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, the author, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits away, dragging the net full of fish. Peter was compelled, and he bolted out of the boat. Just think of Peter's story, just what we've talked about in these last 7 weeks. Leaving the boat hasn't gone well for him in the past. Being reactionary, right? Pulling a sword, that's not gone well in the past. But yet, his heart is overwhelmed with a mix of emotions, and all he can do is rush to the shore to be in Jesus' presence with all of the mix of his story baked into it. And we feel that? You feel that? Where do I go? The story's not going well for me. Rush the shore. Get in Jesus' presence. Verse 9. So when they get out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already made, and fish placed on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." So Simon Peter went up and hauled the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Note takers, capture this, please. It is appropriate for us to pause right here and to recognize that Jesus is representing the kingdom of God in this moment. In the kingdom of God, preparation has already been made for you. Amen? You already have a seat at the table, and the fire was already made before you showed up. Amen? Is that not good news? If we're not telling people that, what are we telling them? The fire was already made for you. Jesus is also representing the kingdom of God in this: the abundance of God's provision here. In God, there is more than enough. The text said Jesus already had fish on the fire. Come on, that's hilarious, you guys. This is hilarious. Jesus already has fish on the fire, and he goes, "Hey, guys, how's the fishing going?" And they're like, "Eh." And he's like, "How about 153 more? How about 153 more? I've already prepared this meal for you." And yet, this is the kingdom of God. And some of us, we need that correction. We are functioning from an idea of scarcity, and we don't think the kingdom has enough, or we think God is withholding. And either way, we need to repent. And I'll be the first one, so I confess that. God, you have more than enough. You have provided more than enough. Verse 12, Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to inquire of him, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took and broke the bread. You see it? Come on, you guys. And then he gave it to them. And the fish likewise. And this was now the third time that Jesus revealed himself to disciples after he was raised from the dead. How gracious is God to pursue us and reveal God's self to us. Clearly, I don't want you to miss this. Clearly, there's something different about Jesus' appearance. Go back through and watch. It is not how he looks that lets anyone know that it is Jesus. It is his action. Come on. Because it is in this interaction with the familiar that they recognize the Lord. It's in his, "Hey, let down the nets." And they're like, "I've heard that before." It's in the breaking of the bread and the giving it to them. There's a familiarity in Jesus' presence and action that lets them know that they're with the Lord. Come on, note takers, let's go. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you have memory of encounters with God that can be pulled up as a reference point for God inviting you into the next moment? What is it? What were those moments where you're like, "Oh, I remember that. That call sounds familiar. That breaking is familiar. That aroma is familiar." Write it down. Because you're going to need to be reminded. There's an intimate beauty in this passage where we see that Jesus uses the familiar to communicate the transcendent. God gets down on our level to be with us. This is the mystical happening that we experience when we take communion. It is God using the familiar to communicate the transcendent. Verse 15. Now, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. There's something very fun going on here. And it's not in the English language. So Peter and Jesus would have been speaking, potentially, Aramaic to each other, and potentially Greek, potentially bouncing back and forth. Like you have people that you know that are bilingual in their house, and they're bouncing back and forth. And if you don't speak that other language, you get left out of half the conversations. And most of them are about you, just so you know. You're right. But this is fascinating because there is a selfless love, agape love, and there's also a filial love, which is a family friend love. And in this, there's a progression. And Jesus says to Peter, do you agape me? And Peter responds, you know I filial you. That's like, oh, what? So do you agape me? You know, I filial you. So Jesus asks him again, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter's like, you know, I filial you. And then Jesus says, Peter, do you filial me? And then Peter, oh, come on, you guys, Jesus coming down to Peter's level. Say, I'll meet you where you're at. I recognize what's going on in you in this mix of emotions and the shame that you're carrying and the grief that you're carrying. And Jesus says, Peter, do you feel you owe me? And then Peter says, you know all things. It's beautiful. Jesus uses the material that Peter was familiar with in order to communicate and to stir up in him what was needed for this moment. And Jesus does something fascinating. He says, through his action to Peter, do you remember three? Does three have any strong memory for you, Peter? He's using the familiar to communicate the transcendent. Peter had denied Jesus three times. It had been foretold. It came to fruition. And Peter's now sitting in front of the resurrected Christ. And Jesus takes him through a threefold heart reckoning. And we can feel the intensity that Peter is going through. Peter felt the hurt in that process. I love this because it's as though Jesus is saying to Peter, here's my heart. Here's my heart, Peter. You're not getting it. Here's my heart, Peter. In each pass, Jesus is binding Peter's wandering heart to his own. And Jesus' presence of fully forgiving love washed over Peter's three denials, like the waves of the ocean lapping upon the shore. You can't stop it. You can listen for it, but you can't stop it. And Jesus once again invites Peter to live out God's mission in the world. He says, tend my sheep. Where are you at this morning? Perhaps you're in need of Jesus's presence of fully forgiving love today. Perhaps you needed to be reminded . Perhaps you're hearing for the first time Jesus saying, here's my heart. Here's my heart. Here's my heart. No matter how far we wander, we can still entrust our hearts to God. And this is the invitation into love. We must first learn to receive love. So this morning, no matter if your faith is strong or if your faith is weak, the invitation is into love. And our only response then is to find ourselves under the loving gaze of the divine other. We love because God first loved us. And in this moment, we can echo God's intimate invitation right back to God. Here's my heart. Here's my heart. Here's my heart. You pray with me? God, we ask you to stoop once more. Stoop once more and call us by name. Oh, we desire your love. We desire your presence. We desire your fullness, your enoughness. We desire you. And so, God, in this moment, speak your words to your children. Say more of your spirit. I ask for more of your spirit. You're hearing from God, I encourage you to capture it. Write it down. Put it in your phone, tell it to the person next to you. God, we ask for more of your spirit, more of you, and less of us in this moment.
the saints, all the broken on the saints, all the ones who fell away, come to the table, all the lost and the forgotten, all the weary and unwanted, all the ones who don't know grace, come to the table.
There's two invitations. One is that we can experience the familiar together around a meal. And so we're going to have a potluck, and we're going to break bread together, and everyone is invited to the table. That's the first invitation. The second invitation is for those who would like prayer. And so there are a few. Ben, if you can join us up here. Amanda, I'd like to have you up here. And we're going to offer prayer. Hannah, if you can come up, I'd appreciate that. I'm going to ask Hannah to play. You don't have to stay in here. If you want to go down and enjoy the meal, then go ahead and start. Just save some for the rest of us. But if God was speaking to you and you want to invite someone into that space with you, then we offer prayer. And whether that is a space of confession, whether that's a space of just receiving and celebrating God's love over you, or whether you have a specific need that you're looking for, we offer space for that. And so I'm going to ask Hannah to play through the chorus again of that song. And if you want prayer, then I'm going to ask you to come forward. Can you guys come over here? Amanda, can you guys come over here? And so if you want, I'm going to ask everyone to stand right now so nobody feels weird. Hannah's going to sing the chorus. If you want prayer, I invite you to come forward on this side. There's going to be 5 of us up here. And if no one comes up here, it's okay. Don't feel, I'm not trying to pressure them. But we don't want to miss what God's doing. And what God might be doing is saying, go get lunch and sit together and enjoy the family fellowship. Amen?
All I need to know is I'm in your love. All I need to know is I'm in your love. All I need to know is I'm in your love now. All I need to know is I'm in your love now. All I need to know is I'm in your love. All I need to know is I'm in your love now. All I need to know is I'm in your love now. All I need to know is I'm in your love. All I need to know is I'm in your love now. All I need to know is I'm in your love now. All I need to know is I'm in your love. All I need to know is I'm in your love now. Place I have a name, my Savior. You the grace that washed my shame away. It's amazing at your table. I have a place. I have a name, my Savior. You are the grace that washed my shame away, and it's amazing. My head. the sinners and the saints, all the broken and ashamed, all the ones who fell away, come to the table, all the lost and the forgotten, all the weary and unwanted, all the ones who don't know grace, come to the table.
Sinners and the saints, all the broken and ashamed.